All right, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. The Lord's added a lot to that pizza box. I'm telling you, I got a full message on that thing now. I mean, a full message, huh? Part two. I could do part two here. I got at least 10 more points to it. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't think I used this when I was here. When that whatever puts in what they put inside of that warms the whole box. I don't think I told that one, did I? That's good. Amen. Amen. All righty. Okay. That box has to be molded. I'm not going to preach on the pizza box, but anyway. John chapter 14. I'm just glad to be here. Amen. All righty. If you look at John 13, the predictions of Christ, we come to John 14, we see the promises in Christ. Come to chapter number 15, you see the positions in Christ. Chapter number 16, you see our persecution in Christ. In chapter number 13, we see the Lord, we see the love. In chapter number 14, we see in believing. In chapter number 15, we see living. In chapter number 16, we find out we're learning. And there's just different things that we looked at. But we want to look at chapter 14. I don't preach on this thought. I'm just going to read the first six verses, very familiar scriptures. I'm going to preach on three keys to curing a troubled heart. Three keys to curing a troubled heart. That's making a troubled heart well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. God, I pray now you'll take this text and use it for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. It's all right to say amen. We're a Baptist church, but it's all right. Okay. All right. We look at John chapter 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And everybody said, amen. I mean, that's exciting news there. Where he's going to be, that's where I'm going to be. You know, I fell in love with my wife. I fell in love with Deborah, and it's kind of nice being in the same places. Yeah. We kind of, you know, people, when you get married, you kind of stay together. I mean, you know, you want to be together. That's why you got married. Amen. And so, for a long time there, we wasn't separated. We went to a mission on a mission trip. Well, the first time we'd separated time, been away from each other for a little while there. And so, I'm excited about where he's at that I'll be at. And then verse number 4, and where thou knoweth, and verse number 4 says, and where thou go you know, and the way you know. Now Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? I heard a preacher preaching today, his name was Thomas, and was Tom, and I guess his full name must have been Thomas. He said, my family, he said, had done a good job raising me, they did a good job naming me. He said, I'm doubting Thomas. He said, I doubt everything. He said, I got the right name. Amen. But Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You know, we're living in very troublesome days. We could preach that 10 years ago. We're living in troublesome day. We could preach that before the economic fall, but you know that we're living in troublesome day. And there's always troubles. We've been living in the last days since Jesus resurrected, amen, and went back to heaven. You and I, there's trouble in this world. The Bible teaches us that this old world is going to get worse and worse. It's going to wax worse and worse. And sin and different things are going to... And so we're living in a troublesome time. But it seems like things here in America have become more troublesome. You know, there's a lot of things that people fear that they didn't used to fear. There's a lot of things that people now are troubled about that maybe they weren't troubled about as many years ago. Looked up on the internet a poll. I said, what is the 15th most popular things and 15 things that people have been polled that they're troubled about in our day and time? So I'm going to give you from the 15th one back to the number one thing that people are troubled about. Today's people are troubled about climate control was number 15. Well, I'm going to let y'all know I am not in that 25% of people that are worried about climate control. It was funny today. Sister Georgia Lynn texted me about some things, and she said, "Are you watching the weather?" I said, "I'm looking at it rain outside the window, through the window." She said, "It's tornadoes, tornadoes." I knew that. My wife had already called me 2 or 3 times, told me we had warnings. My phone went off. I think you even have your phone on silence. It must go off when you... That's pitiful, amen? And so that thing went off and scared me to death. We knew there's bad weather around. I understood that. There's not much you can do about climate control. You might as well just figure out God's got it all under control. Yeah. If it's going to heat up, cool down, whatever, it's going to do it because God lets it do it. So I haven't got no worry about that. The 14th one would be race relations, about the racial things that are going on. They do it in percentage wise. 28% of the people that was polled are concerned about availability or the affordability of energy. People got a lot to worry about in this day and time. Then the 34%, they're worried about the quality of the environment. Now here we finally get to some good ones. 37% of people are worried about unemployment. Now that's something to worry about. Yeah. Amen. Okay. And then there's 38% are worried about drug usage in America. 39% are worried about the illegal immigrants in our America. 43% are worried about crimes and violence in America. Again, 40% is tied hunger and homeless. They're worried about the hungry and the homeless that are in America. 46% is the way income and wealth are distributed in the United States. They're worried about that. Again, there's three. It's tied. 46% again, the size and power of the federal government. They're worried about that. Then another 46% are worried about Social Security system. 51%. This will be the third one to the top. The possibility of future attacks upon America. You know, you probably wouldn't have thought about that years ago. But do we realize that now? There's the third one. The second one is economy. And the very first one, the number one reason people worry is 54% of people worries about the availability and affordability of health care. That was rated as the 15th most things that Americans worry about in our day and time. I was kind of shocked to not see their cancer, sicknesses like that, and different things on there. I figured that would fall in there somewhere, but that's the things that worry about. So we have a lot of people, and you even know you didn't find yourself in that first group, but you finally found yourself somewhere. One of those things maybe troubles you. And it's not those things. There's a lot of things. Another thing I shocked, wasn't seeing there, about our families. Yeah. About troubled about family. Troubles about sicknesses. I thought that would be one of them, you know. Heart disease, cancer. I thought those would be some that would be in there. But, you know, but the number one was about health, about availability and affordability of health care. Not about our health, but just whether we can afford to have insurance to cure what we're going to get. Amen. Maybe they've already gave up and feel like we're going to get something. Amen. But that's what they're worried about. That's what troubled them. Now, what I read tonight may not be troubling you. That's not what was troubling the disciples. What was troubling the disciples was look at chapter number 13, verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter said unto him, "Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Jesus answered him, "Will thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." And then again he says, you know, that he's going, he said, "And whether I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas says, "We know not the way." Amen. They was concerned. They was concerned about Jesus. They was concerned about him leaving. They was disturbed or confused about why he was leaving and where he was going. They was curious about what would happen to them and what would happen to him. And they was curious about that. Jesus has been trying to prepare them, trying to teach them. And they was good Baptists. They just didn't pay no attention. Jesus has been telling them this hour is coming. He's been telling them, I'm going to have to be crucified and I'm going to resurrect the third day. He's told them that. But yet they just can't grasp that. It's kind of like this. Sometimes when you're so close to something and you have some things, you might say they was wanting him to be a deliverer, to deliver them out of oppression, to deliver them out of the Romans. And yet, I know they knew he was the Messiah, but they didn't understand all about the resurrection, Lord Jesus Christ. And don't get too bad displaced with them. I don't understand all about the Bible either. I don't understand what all Jesus is doing now. I don't understand why Jesus hadn't come back. It's getting pretty bad out there. Amen. I don't understand. I don't understand all why bad people are seemingly in the world's eyes are good people. Why evil is called good and good is called evil. I don't understand why bad things happen to good people. I don't understand why storms and troubles and trials that we have to go through. But we realize troubles come in this life that we live in. This flesh we live in. Trouble's going to come. Tragedy's going to come. Trials is going to come. They're coming. And so they was concerned, they was confused, they was curious, and they didn't understand, didn't know why things was happening the way it was. And so you know what they was? They was troubled. He said, let not your heart be troubled. As a Christian, don't you find yourself troubled sometimes? Don't you find yourself troubled sometimes as a Christian? So I want to preach on this thought. This is a Bible treatment for troubled hearts. Three keys to curing a troubled heart. Very first one is right here in our text. He said this. He said, ye believe in God, believe also in me. He speaks first of all of our faith. Our faith, the mention of our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If we're going to believe, we got to believe God. We got to have faith in Him. Our faith must be fixed upon God. He said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Well, we believe Jesus was God. We believe Jesus was God in the flesh. That's proclaimed by the Father in Matthew 17:5. It's claimed by Jesus in John 14:9. We see we witnessed by the Spirit in Mark 1:10-11. I'm just telling you, we believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Tonight, do you believe in God? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith and your hope and your trust in Him? It was acknowledged by the angels. It was confessed by the saints. It was feared by the demons, manifested by His works, that Jesus Christ was the Son of, was the God in the flesh, God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. And so when our troubles come, I must realize that I must have faith in God. My faith is mentioned. My faith that I believe in God. Not only believe in God, that I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. When we think about Jesus, when we think about Him, or think about God, we realize the Bible teaches us that nothing can separate us from God. Hey, don't you believe that? Have faith that nothing can separate us from God? The Bible says this. It says, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And it goes on to say, for I am persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Amen. Amen. I don't know what's troubling your heart tonight, but I do know this. You can believe God. Amen. There's a big God that can handle anything that's coming your way. Amen. There's a big God. And that God will not let these things that come, no matter what they may be, will not let them come to separate you from His love. He still loves you tonight. He still cares for you tonight. He's still on the throne tonight. He's still willing to help you tonight. No matter what your troubles may be, there is a God. He's alive. He's well. And we need to believe in Him, and nothing can separate us. Our faith must be fixed upon God, but not only that, our faith must be founded on belief and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we trusted Jesus, we trusted Him as our Savior. He's our Savior. Oh, we believe He's the Son of God. We believe that He was a sinless one. We believe He died on an old rugged cross for our sins. We believe that, right? We believe all that. We believe that he came down here and lived among men. We believe He rose from the dead. But we believe He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our Master. He's the one that cares for you and I. casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And so we must put our faith, have a foundational truth, and believe it and trust it. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy path. Amen. And because Jesus is our Savior, you know what happens? Because we're saved, there's no condemnation. Romans 8:1 tells us. There's no condemnation. Hey, you and I are not condemned. You and I have been we've been cleansed and we've been claimed by God. And we're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're part of the family of God. Hey, when trouble comes, don't forget now that you and I, that Jesus is our Savior. He's our Lord. Amen. It's not just some kind of deity out there, some kind of gods, but it's God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And and I could go on, I won't preach it, but I could even talk about the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us. Amen. Oh, our faith needs to be strong when the trials are troubled. Hey, if our hearts are troubled, take up your faith in God. Take up your faith in Jesus. We've been accepted in the blood because of Jesus. He's accepted us in the blood. I mean, we've been made to meet in our inheritance. It talks about in Colossians 1:12. We've been sanctified in Christ. Amen. We've been sealed by the Holy Ghost of promise. We're possessors of eternal life. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Ephesians teaches us we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. I'm just telling you, your trouble may not look as bad if you remember what kind of God you got. You remember what kind? You remember that not only we know God, and that just seems like something way out there, but we know Jesus Christ, that when it came in the flesh, walked among men, can be touched with our affirmatives. He knows what we're going through. He knows how we feel. He knows what it is to hunger. He knows what it is to be rejected. He knows those things. And he had walked among men. He's our Savior. And He has gave us some benefit. Matter of fact, He's put His divine nature in us. He's put His divine power in us. We have the Spirit of God in us. Hey, when trouble comes, we have a troubled heart, and trouble does come, your faith needs to be increased when you look to your Heavenly Father. Or look to your look to our faith. We look at our faith that is mentioned to it. Our faith. Here's our faith. He said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. I wonder tonight, are we really believers? When the hard times come, I'm telling you, it's a whole lot easier to preach something than it is to live something. But if you preach long enough, or if you live for the Lord long enough and teach a Sunday school class long enough, or just sit faithful in the pew long enough and walk with the Lord long enough, and it won't be very long, you know what you're going to have to do? You're finally going to have to live your faith. You have to live what you believe. And really, the opportunity comes. You know, it's pretty easy to live for the Lord when everything's going all right. You know? When all the kids are healthy, and when mom and dad is healthy, and the bank account's full, and, you know, anybody knows anything about any of that. But, yeah. But, you know, and everything, you know, the church is going fine. You realize sometimes storms come in churches where people will have faith again. Hey, it ain't us that's doing it, but it's God's doing it. Yeah. Trouble comes to try our faith. James said, the trying of your faith. The trying of your faith. Yeah. So God tries our faith sometimes. Faith is not worth testing, is not worth trusting. Yeah. Amen. And so, the very first thing in this key to a cure of a troubled heart is faith. I just wonder, are you willing to exercise faith? Are you willing to, in the midst of a storm, and Jesus says, come to me, are you willing to step out of the boat? I'm going to tell y'all, they might have said Peter had a little faith, but I don't know if I got enough faith to step out of no storm. If I'm stepping out of the water, I'm going to be feeling for something to land on. Amen? I know, you know, faith is a substance of the thing hoped for. Everything's not seen. He just hoped he could. I mean, he didn't. Did you know Peter did not know he could walk on water? He had not been trained to walk on water. He had not took 12 classes in Bible college to teach you how to walk on water. It's so funny. And I say this respectfully. I'm not trying to put people down. But it's so funny. When I lived in South Carolina and pastored a church in South Carolina, in a neighboring city, they had a church that taught a class on Thursday nights how to speak in tongues. Well, I thought that was supposed to be something that just came on you, but you know they thought, yeah. And so, you know, but anyway, I won't go there. But nobody taught Peter how to walk on water. Nobody had taught him how you progress out of a boat and step on water that is liquid. One man was telling his son, he said, "I've walked on water before. Your brother walked on water." He said, "I done it on my 8th birthday when I was a child. Your brother done it on his 8th birthday. Now it's your 8th birthday." And they lived by the lake. Said, "For you out there and walk on the water." He went out there and tried to walk on the water and he almost drowned. Came back and said, "Daddy, I can't walk on water." He said, "I guess not." He said, "When I walked on water, it was January." Amen. Hey. Yeah, in Minnesota. It was a Minnesota joke. No, no. Hey, faith is not something that we teach. Faith is something that you learn. I can't make him have faith. I can tell him what the Word of God says. I can encourage him to step out by faith. But who has to learn faith? He has to learn. You'll have to exercise faith. You'll have to make the steps of faith. Little Colton, of course, is almost starting to walk. He'll be 1 in July the 1st. And today, Deborah's keeping him because they're sick too, but they went on to a church, but they're not feeling real well. But she was keeping him this afternoon when I got home, and there he was. And, you know, you put him in that little thing that they run around in. What's that thing called? Walker. Okay. Well, he's thinking that he's you know, you walk when you're inside of it. Now he's pulling up on the outside of it. Yeah. And he's taking a few steps. You know, it's running off and he's trying to run with it, you know. And if it gets real going too much, he'll just flop down on the floor. Boom. Thank God for diapers, I guess. Yeah. And he'll just hit the floor. And if the first time there at the house, he pulled up on the coffee table and he reached over to the chair that thing that flops out loud. What do you call that thing? Recliner. I can't think of nothing. A recliner. And he reached over that recliner. Well, this certain recliner don't just rock this way. It swivels. It goes all the way around. So when he touched that thing, it just went off. And he just took off walking with it. Amen. And just, you know, and then he went down. And guess what? It scared him. And so what did he do? He cried. You say, "Why did you say that?" Because sometimes stepping out by faith, you'll get scared. Jesus, I mean, what did Peter have to do? He cried. He cried one with tears, but he cried out for the Lord. Yeah. Amen. I'm telling you, faith, if in the midst of your trouble, God trying to get you to exercise faith. Hey. The very first thing he said, "If this is the first key now, if you believe in God, I want you to have faith. I want you to believe in me." Second key, the second and third key is a lot shorter. Second key, he mentioned our Father. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in my Father's house." When he talks about the Father's house, you know what he's talking about? He's talking about provisions. He's talking about a place. You know, the Bible's made provisions for you and I in the midst of the trouble. What does Ephesians teach us? Put on the whole armor of God. Hey, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Hey, there's an armor for you. Hey, God wants to prepare you for this time of trouble. We have to put on that armor. We have to make sure that armor's on. We have to trust God. And miss that. We can, you know what we can do? That the last part of that armor is not a is really not a, a piece of armor you put on, but it talks about prayer. And I believe that's one of our weapons we have to defend. I know we have the sword. They call that the only weapon of offense. But I believe that we have prayer, that we can get God on our side. That we can talk to God. We can go to our Heavenly Father and make our petitions to Him. Hey, we got a God that we can call upon that can hear our prayer. He's not like an idol that has eyes but cannot see, ears that cannot, and hands that cannot move. Our God can move. Our God can hear. Our God can see. And so He talks about His Father. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about y'all. I get excited. I'm thinking about that we have a Heavenly Father. A Father we got, Abba Father. It talks about in the Word of God, if a father knows how to give good gifts unto his son, what about Lord Jesus? What about our Father? He knows how to give what we need. We not give liberty to all men. Hey, He knows what we need. He knows what we're going through. He knows what you need in life. And when you're in trouble, you think in your trouble, He don't know. Some of the hardest times to live is when you see your children as they're growing up and you have to let them learn some things on their own. You can't protect them always. You have to let them learn some things as they grow up. And that's kind of hard to do. You know, you tell your child not to do this, not to do this, and they just keep wanting to do it. And if you feel like they're not going to get hurt too bad, you just kind of let them go ahead, do it. Just go ahead, do it. Go ahead, find out. I remember I was about 7 or 8 years old, and I kept on putting this rope in the fire. We wasn't camping. We was at these other people's house. They had a fire, and we was cooking out and everything. And I took that rope, and I put it in that fire. And then you know what I do with that rope, don't you? Swing it around. And Daddy said, son, you need to stop that. You're going to get burned yourself. He didn't say I had to stop it. He just said you needed to. There is a difference, is there not? So I just continued to do it. Sure enough, that thing wrapped around my leg and stuck right there. I've still got a scar. When it stuck, that went on nylon rope and it was hot and it was melted. And it just melted right to me. I pulled it off and skinned too. I mean, it took a big old hunk out of my leg. You know what Daddy said? Oh, that hurt, didn't it? I said, I told you to stop doing that. He didn't cry about it. You know, sometimes God just, amen. So you and I have got a God we can go through. We got a God that teaches us things that will harm us. And we just want to keep on breaking His commandment, keep on going and living too close to sin and getting too close to things. He don't restrain us from doing it. He lets us have a free will. I'm glad we got a God that not only we can call upon, I'm glad we got a God that we can depend upon. Amen. Then lastly, He mentioned our future. He said, verse number 3, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Yeah. I don't know what your trouble may be, but it should help your troubled heart know that one day this trouble is going to be over. Amen. The book of Corinthians talks about this being, our things are just temporal things. They're just temporal. They're not eternal. They're just temporal. And one day these temporal things are going to go away. They're going to pass away. But you and I have eternal. We have an eternal weight. We have an eternal glory. We have eternal things to look for. Amen. My hope's not in this world. My hope's in Jesus. Amen. And what if my trouble is in my flesh and my sickness and I want to live as long as I can, and I know you do too, but one day that's going to be fixed. Yeah. Amen. As they was talking about the Robinson man, you know, hey, he's in a better place now. He wouldn't come back if you gave him $1 million. Amen? He wouldn't come back. No. He wouldn't come back if you gave him $1 million and a fresh new body. I say, I believe one glimpse of heaven will cure all this world's ever had. I believe that. His promise, I'll come in his presence. Where I am, there you may be also. Where I am, there you may be also. I believe that's the three keys that cures our troubles. If we'll just look at our Heavenly Father, have faith in him. If we'll just look at our future and see what God's got planned for us. And if we'll just have faith in the midst of this storm, in the midst of this trouble, then I believe he can cure our troubled heart. This whole world's going to pass away. Most of things, well, let me go back to this list for just a second while she's getting a song there just to play. This is the fifth one down the line. Climate control. No problem. When we get to heaven, be perfect climate. Yeah. Race relations, no worry about that no more. The available and affordability of energy, no problem. S-O-N will be the sun. It'll be light all the time.
Amen.
The quality of the environment, hey, you can't get no better than heaven.
Yeah.
Unemployment, praise God, I hope we don't have to work. Drug use, you can use all you want. No, I'm just kidding. You won't need none. Let's think about it. Illegal immigrants, won't be no such thing. Crime and violence, done away with. Hunger and homeless, nothing.
Yeah.
The way income and wealth are distributed in the U.S., won't worry about that anymore. The size and power of the federal government, they're gone. Amen. The possibility of future tax on the United States. Be a place of perfect peace, perfect rest. Economy and the availability and affordability of health care, we don't need no health care. We're going to live forever. It'll all be over. Isn't that wonderful? I didn't think about that the right then. Anyway, that's wonderful. Look back over the list. All our troubles, all the things that we would worry about is going to be solved just when we get to heaven. We're standing our heads bowed.